You may have heard of us, but you might not know Bank First is a community bank that has no fee ATM access, interest and perks earning checking accounts. With online and mobile banking, mortgages for every stage of life, and modern business banking for businesses, small and big. We keep it all together to put you first. Do you bank with us? You should. Bank First is an equal housing lender and a member FDIC.
Well, it's Friday morning. We are in the Farm Bureau studios, and we return with the beautiful Friday, Saturday, Sunday series, the way God intended it. Here in Starville, I'm Charlie Winfield. He's Bart Gregory, and the Georgia Bulldogs and their diminutive head coach.
Wow, that's a knock. I mean, here's a guy that turned us around, man. We went from worst to first in his only year here as a pitching coach.
Just read his bio. They'll tell you how much he had to do with that.
He did. He turned everything around. Now, I will say this about Wes, is he did a really good job that year with Dakota Hudson. Now, I've called Dakota Jordan Dakota Hudson a few times early this year, but Dakota Hudson had that really breakthrough season in 2016, thanks in part by, you know, Wes brought the – he brought a little bit of a little juice with a mentality in 2016, woke up some of our guys on that pitching staff. Austin Sexton had a good year that year. And, you know, we reaped the benefits of Wes for the next couple of years after he left here. That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah, well, that's a nice way to put it. All right, so Georgia coming to town. We're both 4-5 in the league. And for us, we said that after 9 games – we needed to be 4-5, that this was a good spot for us to be. But there's a corollary to that, and that is this. Now, you got to make up some ground at home. 1 out of 3 don't get it this weekend. And I want to stop short of calling for a sweep. That's a pretty ambitious target. But you need to win some games this weekend. Better get a couple.
Well, and this is what's interesting about us and Georgia. Is when you look at their schedule when it came out, 3 of their first 4 SEC series are on the road. They're at Kentucky to open up league play. They got swept up there. They played Alabama at home. They were like, hey, that's the weekend. We gotta make some hay. They swept Alabama. And then they got to go to Tennessee and then to Mississippi State. So last week they lost 2 out of 3. This is a swing weekend for Georgia too. Now for us, you look at that schedule when it started, LSU, on the road at A&M, on the road at Florida. Okay, that Georgia series becomes really big. So I think both of these teams this weekend is really big, probably even bigger for us because we've got to win this weekend.
Have to.
Yeah.
So you've got a team coming in that gives up a lot of hits. You have a team coming in that hits a lot of home runs. The thing that jumped out at me about Georgia, by the way, before we get too far into this, we'll remind you we are in the Farm Bureau studios. Farm Bureau, they have agents in all 82 of Mississippi's counties. Teaching point for our young listeners, there are 82 counties in Mississippi. Probably too many, but that's a debate for another day. If you have insurance needs, though, go see our friends at Farm Bureau. Georgia, Bart, is a team. It's interesting when you start to look. You're getting to the time of year where the stats that I look at are the league-only stats.
Yeah, that's all I look at right now too.
I don't care what somebody did in the midweek because midweek schedules are not all created equal and you don't know who's pitching for whom. But in league play right now, Georgia last in the league in earned run average. Their ERA is sitting here at 9. Now, that's not as high as we were a year ago, but it's not good. But here is the thing that jumped out at me. They're not walking a ton of guys. They've walked 7 fewer guys in league play than we have. But opponents are hitting .344. That's a Hall of Fame career that they're giving up on average.
Yeah, it really is. And so, and one of the things you also look at, too, is are trends that are developing within the league. Now, what they have seen is, you know, they did play Kentucky on the road, which leads the league in hitting. Now, is the reason that Kentucky's leading the league in hitting because of Georgia's bad pitching? I don't know. You start looking in the league as far as hitting, LSU and Florida are two of the three worst teams offensively in the league. You got Missouri batting .144 as a team, okay? That's you just kind of throw them out. But Florida's only hitting .245. LSU's only hitting .246. And so our pitching numbers – you know, we're 6th best in the league in ERA. Is it because of our pitching or is it because of their lackluster lineup that they have in Gainesville other than Jack Castiglione. So you don't know. I mean, there's reasons everybody's kind of mixed in there right now. But here's the thing that stood out to me about Georgia is, yeah, they give up a lot of hits. They give up 344 team batting average. And we talk about the number of home runs that they have hit. They lead the nation in home runs. They've hit 23 home runs in league games only. But they don't strike out a lot. They only have 63 strikeouts, which is third fewest in SEC-only games.
That's unusual. The other thing, though, that I thought was unusual looking at these hitting numbers, they have only generated four more runs in league games than we have. So if I were to tell you that they have twice the home runs in league play that we have, that they have more doubles in league play than we have, that they've walked just as much, that they've struck out fewer, they've been hit by a pitch more, you would tend to think, boy, they're going to put up a lot of runs. We've scored 63 in league play. They've scored 67.
And we've both done it very similarly, too. You know, we had that one big game against LSU that first weekend. We scored 15 runs. So, I mean, there's a lot of our runs right there, 15-5 in that 10-run rule game. They had a 16-run game against Tennessee on Friday last week and then a 16-run game in the game on Saturday. 11-run game in the game on Saturday. So they scored 27 runs in the first two games last weekend against Tennessee. Now, that's a hitter's ballpark. They play in a hitter's ballpark. Now, I was talking to Coach Polk about this yesterday, and we were talking about Georgia and the power numbers, and he was like, hey, here's the thing you got to understand. He said, that ballpark over there early in the season is a hitter's ballpark. When you start factoring in how Foley Field is maneuvered and what way it's situated on that campus, he said the ball just flies out of there.
Well, we've got some guys that we could do like you do for father-son camp and take it out to second base and swing away from there, who I'm still not sure would always consider it a hitter's park. But let's flip back to the pitching a second, though, for Georgia, because we were talking about how they got their ERA where it is and how many hits they've given up. Here is what's interesting. The thing I always go look at in a smaller sample size, is there an outlier that is dragging things up or down? And here's what Georgia pitching has allowed. Number of hits allowed by game in league play, 14, 14, 10, 13, 8, 11, 10, 12, 14. Meaning everything is right in that range. They're giving up 12 hits a game, basically. So it's not like Tennessee just came out one game and hit it around the yard and drove up the hit numbers. In the game that Tennessee scored two runs, they had as many hits as they did the next day when they scored 16. Point being, this is the difference in those two games, by the way, was on day one, Georgia walked nobody. On day two, they walked eight. So all that being said, this is a team I think is going to score their runs. Georgia is. And it's a team that ought to give up some runs. We ought to be able to play some. I think it has a chance to be one of those weekends where, settle in, we could be swinging for a while.
Well, here's the thing too, Charlie, that, you know, you have to talk about when you think about us in the past couple of games. This is not the weekend where we can come out and have five hits in a game like we did last Sunday. This is not the game where we can start hitting the ball in the ninth inning. We had one hit going to the ninth inning the other day against Central Arkansas, two hits against Central Arkansas going to the ninth inning. And right now, the last two games, we've had some hiccups at the plate with our lineup. And this is that weekend where you better have the offense rolling. You have opportunities, but you're not going to win 3-2 games this weekend. I mean, the pitching can hold them to five runs a game or six runs a game. You better be able to outscore them. And to do that, you better have good at-bats. I thought that Chris Lemonis, you saw that post-game the other day against Central Arkansas after the game, and he was very, very frustrated. You and I were very, very frustrated. Everybody associated with it at the ballpark that day was very, very frustrated, and it was a common theme. And to me, it was just absolutely amazing that we had this common theme when you're sitting here this deep in the season. I mean, our record right now is 19-11. We're talking about game 30. Game 30, past the midway point on Tuesday. And what do we talk about after the game? How many big, aggressive, selfish swings we took up and down the lineup from 1 to 9.
Are we overplayed that?
No, I don't think we I didn't think we overplayed it the other day at all. I thought we
No, I'm saying as fans, though. I mean, here's my thing. If Dakota Jordan hits a ball 540 feet, everybody's like, man, that guy's got raw power. That's great. That's a beautiful swing. But if he misses it, it's a big selfish swing. Are we getting too far into the heads of people here?
Well, I mean,
and I'm not picking on Dakota. I'm just using him as an example. Because I had people saying, well, Hunter Hines took a selfish swing. Well, Hunter Hines got the inning started by hitting one 405 feet.
He did.
And nobody was saying, well, selfish swing. He was just – it was like, hey, he got us jump started.
Well, when that conversation, though, is coming from coaches post-game.
Okay, well, that being said,
I mean,
we've been known to disagree with a coach now and then too, right?
We have. But if we're
– I guess my point is this. I think as a general rule, fans, coaches, me, Charlie, sometimes read too much into what somebody's mentality is by watching an outcome. If somebody jumps up and makes an 18-foot contested jump shot with guys hanging from him, it's a gutsy play. If somebody hits one 400 feet, that's a clutch swing. But if he swings and misses, well, he was selfish or that was a dumb shot.
Yeah, but that's natural.
Well,
everything, hindsight is 20/20.
Well, I guess that's my point. The thing, I think it's much simpler when we look at these midweek games. I think it's you see it all the way down, and you've got kids, you've brought kids up through youth baseball. And there is a reason that coaching youth baseball, the better the team we played, the slower the pitcher I threw out there.
Oh, yeah.
And you would drive them insane. I just think, and look, man, look at Florida. Everybody's blasting us about how we play in the midweek. And understandably, I'm not trying to defend us. Florida's sitting here a top 10 team in the league, in the country, losing every midweek game they play.
Now, they beat Florida A&M this past week, barely.
Southern goes down and beats LSU, who, by the way, just beat Vanderbilt. I guess what I'm saying is I think sometimes we just are looking for answers when it's much simpler, and that is we just didn't get it done.
Yeah, and Tuesday was the day we just didn't get it done.
Now, that is true.
Yeah. So,
but you know who does get it done?
Who's that?
I don't know, but I figured that was a good segue for you to tell me about somebody.
Well, Maroon & Company.
Well, they get it done.
They can get it done. They can get it done if you need Mississippi State gear, if you need Bulldog Initiative gear. If you're on your way to the ballpark tonight and you're like, I can't determine of whether I need a sweatshirt tonight. How cool is it going to be when the sun goes down?
It's going to be cold, isn't it?
It's going to be chilly, I think. And I don't know if I'm dressed for that right now.
No, you're going to need to pivot.
Okay, so I will need to pivot. I've got the short sleeve shirt on today. You've got the quarter zip on right now. The SEC Network quarter zip that we had made.
We have to buy our own gear.
We bought our own stuff. I've got the short sleeve on right now, but so that means I'll probably have to go to Maroon & Company. So, Wyatt Craig, if you listen to this later today, I'm going to come by and see you guys in the Cotton Mill Marketplace. If I had time, I would have gone to maroonandco.com. And I would type in the code NIL10. I know I'd get 10% off my purchase, and 5% would go to the Bulldog Initiative. And so for all your Mississippi State gear, Bulldog Initiative gear, our good friends at Maroon & Company. And this is also a great morning that I started greatly with my friends at Country Pleasing Sausage. Had some jalapeno cheddar this morning, Charlie.
I'm talking about.
Straight out of the gate. And I'm not the jalapeno cheddar like you are. I'm kind of the pineapple pork or just the straight cash original. But this morning, I want a little jump step. This weekend's got a chance to be spicy.
I'm not calling you out here.
Okay.
I'm not questioning where you stand.
You're beginning
in life
to do that more and more.
Well,
it seems like we're beginning to be a little bit more antagonistic on the show.
Well, I'd just say that, you know, in hockey, now and then somebody's got to check you in the boards.
That's okay.
You need a good board check now and then. So, no, I'm not calling you out. I'm not questioning your manhood or anything. I'm just saying that's my wife's favorite is the pineapple version.
Is it?
Yeah, some of us like ours.
A little bit more bite.
You know, just a little.
Little kick.
A little kick to it.
Yeah. So, our friends at Country Pleasing Sausage, making the best sausage you could possibly have. I talked to Henry actually yesterday, and they're getting that slop sauce and all their barbecue sauces more into grocery stores, Walmarts around the Southeast. You know, Walmart's was with an apostrophe S. It's not like, you know, my grandma saying, hey, go up to Walmart's or go up
over
to Starks.
Starksville.
Yeah. So our good friends at Country Pleasing, go to countrypleasing.com. They'll ship that great sausage to you. And, of course, they got the big butcher shop down in Florence on Highway 49. And, Charlie, this week we have a new sponsor on the show, and that's our good friends at Nutrien Ag Solutions. This is a big time over the Mississippi Delta right now, and then the Black Belt, which is just east of us when you start thinking about Knoxville County and Columbus area, Lowndes County. There's a lot of – and up into Lee County as well. They have a lot of growing going on right now with the farmers. And so Dyna-Grow seed produced by our friends at Nutrien Ag Solutions, when you're putting those – when you're a farmer and you're putting those seeds in the ground, you want to make sure they sprout. And so for over 30 years, Dyna-Grow seed – has worked with local growers for the best seed solutions for your farm so you can purchase confidently knowing that you have a partner to connect the land with the right seed hybrids. And that's our good friends at Nutrien Ag Solutions producing that great Dyna-Grow seed. And I know a lot of Delta farmers right now are getting ready to put some corn seed in the ground, especially in the North Delta. I think they've planted a good bit down in the South Delta.
So here is my question.
Okay.
Have you ever grown a garden?
Every year.
Yeah, I mean, I knew you did like watermelons and stuff. If you, but you,
now, yeah, my dad is. He says every year I'm not going to plant a big garden this year, and then that year it becomes bigger. And so, whether it be corn, whether it be peas, whether it be butter beans, and things of that nature.
So, you know, I have never had a garden.
Huh.
When I was a kid, my great grandfather, who lived down in Picayune, Mississippi, my great grandparents actually lived until I was in my teens, young teens, in Picayune, Mississippi. Where, by the way, brief side note, my mother, her high school study hall teacher was Jimmy Johnson.
I was about to say, Jimmy Johnson got his start at Picayune High School.
Didn't win a game.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy Johnson left, but my mother was there then. But I would go to my great-grandfather's and out on the side of their house, like now we would think flower beds. I'm guessing this kind of grew out of the World War II generation. He had the whole side of his house, and he'd grow tomatoes and grow all kinds of things right there by the house. So I'm wondering if Nutrien Ag might would sponsor me in a garden endeavor.
Well, especially if you're planting corn.
I do like corn. Can I grow corn in a garden?
Yes. We grow corn every year in a garden. White corn, field corn, or sweet corn. And they also have fertilizers as well. And
hey, to make this baseball relevant, are you familiar with the phrase can of corn?
Yes, I am.
So I was doing some reading. If you don't know, like just a lazy fly ball out into the outfield, people could say it's a can of corn. Do you know where that saying came from?
I did. It came from a grocery store because they used to keep the corn on the top shelf, and they would use like a broomstick or whatever to kind of knock it down to them and make it like an easy catch for the grocer. Are you surprised that I know that?
No, I'm not surprised. But I got to thinking, we have a lot of disappearing lingo in baseball. I don't hear can of corn as much anymore. We used the phrase here a couple of weeks ago, a Texas League single, and I hadn't heard that. That used to be a very common saying.
Yep, Texas League,
away.
Bleeder, ground ball with eyes.
I feel like it's on us to preserve the integrity in the history of the game.
I tell you what, it is tempting in this short space.
Oh, my gosh. By the way, I was digging through statistics and looking at both these teams. College websites right now are garbage, athletic websites.
Are you throwing shade at our friends at Sidearm Sports who have – I hear that all the time. Man, the Mississippi State website's terrible. It's bad. And hey, it's not – I'm not defending. I'm just saying if you look around the country, there's the same company that does just about all the websites. And so it's – you know, it's not just us.
All right, let's talk about a little bit more about Georgia a minute. You know, so many times we come in, we say, hey, it's about us. It's about them a little bit, all right? So here's my question. When you look at Georgia and you look at this batting order, if I were to tell you that in league play, Charlie Condon is not the leading hitter on this team, either in terms of home runs or slugging percentage or batting average, would that surprise you?
If I had not looked at the stats, it would have surprised me. And then when I looked at the stats and I started looking at SEC games only and realizing the year that Corey Collins is having.
That's the thing that gets overlooked, because when anybody talks about Georgia, all they want to talk about is Charlie Condon. Corey Collins right now in league play, hitting .429. He's 12 for 28. He's hit 7 home runs. 7 of his 12 hits have been home runs.
Which is more than Condon.
His slugging percentage is .1179. He's got a league OPS of like over 1,700. He is playing incredible right now in league play. But then there's some other guys. Henry Hunter sitting in there at .389. It's almost like this is a top-heavy lineup. Now, the guy who – and look, it's really – it would be really easy, and I don't want to be misinterpreted, because one of the guys we'll have to talk about is Slade Alford as we go through
this.
I am not in any way whatsoever taking shots at Slade Alford today.
They're not going to do it this weekend either.
No, not my thing, not going to be. He has taken a step back a little bit in league play. You know, he got off to the big start, had a couple of home runs early, I think maybe even 3 in the first couple of games. He's kind of come back down. Now, he's hitting .278. I'm not piling on. Got a couple of errors in league play, fielding it at .900. They're playing him more at second base than we ever did, right? Playing him some at second, some at third. If you were to break down this lineup, though, when you look at coming into this weekend, you know that Collins is going to hit. You know that Condon is going to hit. Isn't the key to this weekend, as crazy as it may sound, Slade Alford?
Yeah, and here's the reason why I think that, Charlie, is because what Georgia has done in the last 2 weeks is they've taken their top two hitters and put them at the top of the order. Corey Collins, they're now batting in the leadoff spot. That's what they did last Saturday and Sunday against Tennessee, and that's what they did in the Tuesday game this past week in the midweek. And so what they do is they put Collins in the leadoff spot. They follow him with Condon in the two spot in the order. So they're top two hitters. League play, Collins hitting .429, as you said. Condon hitting .394. And, hey, Condon –
together they got 12 home runs.
Condon was hitting over – 400 until the last two games. He's 0 for 9 with one RBI in the last two games.
He was hitting over 500.
So he was hitting the – I mean,
he was up in Dave Magadan territory.
Yeah, he's been hitting the ball well. And so what that means is the first guy you see after those two, and what they've been doing is batting Slade Alford in the three spot in the order. And to me, that becomes the swing guy this weekend in their order.
No surprise, by the way, Collins has not attempted a stolen base, even as the leadoff man in league play. And you say, why not? Because you're not getting him thrown out with Condon swinging the bat.
Okay, all right. You bring up a point right there, and I know I want to break away just a tad. And you and I actually had this this conversation the other day in the booth. When we had first and third the other day with one out, and we had Mershon at first and Dakota's at the plate, and I've heard this talked about a good bit in the last couple of days, is why you're not stealing Mershon in that situation. Now, to me, sitting there watching the game, I'm thinking the same thing that anybody else is. Hey, Central Arkansas has got a catcher that is not great. Mershon is a good speedy runner. And why are you not stealing, especially hindsight 2020, Dakota hits just a seed to the shortstop and they create the double play. And so in my mind, I'm like, okay, why are we not stealing Mershon there? And so I go in and I know that flip the pancake, man. There's two sides to every story. And so I asked Coach Polk this, and I know Coach Polk's not always 100% right. And I was like, hey, let me ask you a question. If you got a situation, first and third, and you got Mershon to play, because I did not go back to that certain situation because I knew he wouldn't remember, because he's crazy, because he does not remember situations that occur in a baseball game, but he can tell you somebody that played for him 40 years ago and how many kids they got and where they live and what street they're on. Okay, it's nuts how he is.
Absolutely.
So I asked him, I said, if you got Mershon at first and you got Dakota at the plate and there's one out, are you stealing Mershon to stay out of the double play? And he says, absolutely not. Not ever. And I was like, really? I mean, even the catcher? I mean, he's like, let me tell you this. The odds are better that Dakota's going to hit a home run than hits a double play. The odds are better he's going to hit a home run instead of a double play. And if you get Mershon thrown out at second base, Dakota has a better chance of hitting a home run. You're going to lose that run. You're going to lose a run because he hits a home run. So that is the flip side. I'm sorry to break away from that. So, going back to your point, that's why they don't steal Collins a whole lot, is because they've got Condon right behind him.
We saw something else this weekend. I guess it was this past weekend. How many times have we ever seen Mershon intentionally walked to get to Dakota?
Let me tell you this. You talk about a gutsy move by a coach. That was one of the more – I guarantee you, he walked out the mound and said, guys, I'm not crazy, but here's what we're about to do. We're about to walk this guy to get to Dakota Jordan.
So that's in the ninth.
It's in the ninth. It's a one-run game. We got second and third, one out. We're about to walk this guy
to load the bases
for Dakota Jordan and Hunter Hines. And hey, it worked out.
I'll tell you though, that is one of the more it's a family show. There was a lot of brass involved in making that.
Throw him across the shoulder.
All right, so looking at this team, this Georgia team again, one more second, looking at this starting pitching, you commented on something when we came in today about their starting pitching, particularly as it relates to Goldstein. Charlie Goldstein, we'll see today. He's 6'1", 200, left-hander. He's a Georgia guy from Alpharetta. He's about 30 years old. I thought you picked up on something with him.
What's so crazy about it is I looked at the past 3 weeks and his starts. You know, last week against Tennessee, when he went out to pitch the second inning, they had an 8-1 lead. 2 weeks ago against Alabama, he goes out to pitch the second inning, he's got a 4-1 lead. The first weekend against Kentucky, he goes out to pitch, they've got a big lead in the first two innings. The thing that stands out to me about Goldstein is he's been able to pitch with a lead early, in a big lead early. It's either 3 or 4 runs early in each game. Now, Kentucky came back in the middle innings and got to him a little bit and actually chased him before they took the lead in the fifth inning. But he has had to pitch with a lead. And that's the thing that stands out to me about tonight, and knowing Wes and kind of that mantra that he has as a head coach, is Georgia is going to throw – a haymaker early, or going to try to. They're going to try to do their best offensively. And everybody tries to do that. But, I mean, they are really going to push the envelope early in this game because in the Friday night games of each of the three series they've played, they have come out hot at the plate in the first two innings. And that's allowed Goldstein to pitch with the lead. Last week, he had that massive lead against Tennessee. They ended up winning that game in a 10-run rule. So, to me, that – he's given up some hits, a lot of it because he's had a lead to pitch with and he's just pounding strikes.
Wind is going to be different in these two games. And the ball game today, wind's going to be blowing in from left. Tomorrow, there's a chance what wind we have is pushing the ball to left. I kind of like Cal Steven with the wind coming in. Am I overthinking that?
To me, it's all dependent upon, is the slider working? You know, 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago against LSU, his slider didn't work. Last week it worked. Against A&M it worked. And so how does he feel in the bullpen with that secondary pitch? Because he just cannot live with just throwing the one pitch, and that's a fastball. Yeah, I agree with that. You've got the big right-handed hitters for Georgia who like to pull the ball out the left field. Wind's going to be blowing in tonight about 5 miles an hour, so it's not a big wind. And then, but man, this is not the team you want to face because they have lift with their swing and they are going to try to get it out of here. And we talk about, you know, Georgia being a home run hitter's ballpark. I mean, right now our ballpark, even though we don't hit a bunch of home runs, our ballpark is conducive to the home run. And Charlie, I talked about our good friends at Country Pleasing.
But No. See, that's where you have to say, you know, who else is conducive to home runs?
Well, you hit a home run every time you drink Strange Brew coffee. I mean, that blueberry cobbler flavored coffee. I actually had just the straight old black coffee this morning, Charlie.
The way God intended it.
I just had it old straight black house.
Can you imagine if we were going back to, say, like, I don't know, 1780, 1776, back when we were fighting for our freedoms? You know, they fought over tea. They fought over coffee. But can you imagine rallying around blueberry-flavored cobbler?
Well, if
blueberry cobbler-flavored coffee. That's where you are.
So in 2 weeks, I'm going to Scotland. I'll tell you that. I think I did tell
you. I bet
they
don't have. Do they do coffee in Scotland?
Probably. So Jen is tied up on watching Outlander, and she's watched it like 3 or 4 times and trying to get me to watch Outlander. And, of course, this happens in the 1700s before the Battle of Culloden and all that stuff in northern Scotland. And I guarantee you, when Jamie and the brethren in the show Outlander, if someone had said, we're going to have blueberry cobbler-flavored coffee, it would have really stoked the fire within them. They've been ready to cut you with that big knife.
That's why we're not hitting enough home runs.
Yeah.
We need more. Yeah, it's crazy because that's been one of the things I've tried it. And I actually like it. It's just, to me, not what I do. But, you know, I have more people stop me and say, now, I will say this. I have not had one single person, not one, not even a hint of saying, I agree with Bart when he used to call that a tall boy of coffee. Like, that's like, I get no support. But there is a growing movement of support for Bart Gregory and Team Blueberry Cobbler.
I'm telling you, man, it's good stuff.
You remember our friend Greg Ellis, man? That was I think he was the first guy I ever heard that would get that. I mean, like, he just loved it.
And Greg goes by there just about every day in Tupelo, at Brewpelo, because he can do that, because they have that location in Tupelo now. But he started drinking the Blueberry Cobbler flavored coffee, and now I drink the Blueberry Cobbler flavored coffee. And today I drank just straight old black coffee because I wanted to get in the mood to come share my time with you, Charlie, because I knew that you would have just that cold black heart this morning as we got ready to talk about Wes Johnson and the fighting Georgia Bulldogs. But strangebrewcoffeehouse.com, they'll send that great coffee to you.
Well, you know, so you're going by Maroon & Company and getting some stuff. I'm going to go by a Strange Brew today, and I'm going to get like a thermos type thing.
Sure.
And I'm going to fill that thing up with straight black coffee, because I'm going to tell you, the wind's going to be blowing in today. And with the wind blowing in, it's going to be a little cold.
Oh, no, but no, man, you guys get to broadcast. Y'all sit up there, and it's warm where y'all broadcast. And let me tell you something. The coldest place in the stadium is our broadcast booth. I can assure you of that. Now, we got blankets, we got heaters, we got things like that that we got going on, we got plugged in, which is not the old stadium. The old stadium was, if you plug something in, somebody's going to be by there in about 5 minutes and say, hey, you got to unplug that, because it might trip the lights or the scoreboard or something like that.
Oh, and I've seen it happen.
But our good friends at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. We're also brought to you by our good friends at Heartland Catfish. Heartland producing the finest U.S. farm-raised catfish in the world. And it's all here in the Mississippi Delta over in Itabena. From their ponds to your plate, they serve it in great restaurants around the Southeast. And I'll tell you, one of the great restaurants they serve it in is the buffet up at the Gold Strike in Tunica. If you go to Tunica, do a little playing up there, have fun up there on a weekend, and you go to the buffet, they got great catfish. And it's sold to them by our good friends at Heartland Catfish. You just can't beat Heartland Catfish. Doesn't taste like mud. Tastes like catfish. And that's our good friends at Heartland Catfish. All right, Charlie, busy weekend this weekend. I looked across the street this morning at the Hub. They've got some balloons up. They got some tents up. And we talked about downtown Starkville, all the things going on here in Starkville. Here on a busy, busy weekend, is this the open house for the Hub across the street at the old Cadence Bank building?
Yeah, boy, they were doing some construction out front, and I wasn't sure how that was going to turn out. It looks great out there.
Oh, it really does.
And we've got freshly paved roads. We now have stripes on the roads.
Oh, my.
I mean, we are making progress.
Does it ever bother you? I'm OCD in this way. It bothers me immensely when they stripe the road and then they let people drive on it too quick. And then all of a sudden, for the next 5 years, you just have those marks where somebody ran over it one time.
So mine's a little bit different. My thing that bothers me, and that does, but when they come and they kind of do the outline of where the stripe's going to be. And so for quite a while, the stripe has like this kind of ghosting effect around it.
Yeah.
A halo effect. That's one of my things. Hey, some other things going on in Starkville. You know, our community markets are getting kicked back up pretty soon. That'll be on the 27th, so we're still a couple of weeks away, but we've got that.
I'm not going to have any tomatoes by then. I think that's what I need to do is with your garden. Here you go, Charlie. When you plant your garden with your DynaGrow seed and your Nutrien Ag Solutions fertilizer, you can grow some corn and bring it to the community market.
So they could honestly build an entire series around me trying to do a garden, because their platform could be, if this idiot can grow our seed, we can do it, because I have no skill whatsoever. But I was looking the other day, maybe like I need like a box or something. Is that what you call it? What do I need? I don't want to just till into the ground, right? Don't I want to do like a planter or a box?
A raised bed?
Yeah, a raised bed. That's it.
Sure.
See, if I can grow a garden, we'll sell a ton of this seed.
The whole key to raised beds is everybody out there thinks you got to fill those things with soil.
What are you filling with?
Well, you got to get something to put in the bottom. I mean, you got to put some kind of organic material in the bottom, whether it be hay, whether it be leaves and things like that. You fill half of it up with hay.
And are we doing composting or are we doing gardening? I don't get it.
Well, you put compost, you put hay, you put something in the bottom. That way you're not spending a fortune, an absolute fortune, to put four layers of, you know, to put, you know, you're not putting 4 feet of or 3 feet of soil, you're putting a foot. Because if you put 4 feet of soil down there, then you might as well go and just buy your stuff at Kroger because it's going to be overpriced. You're going to be growing the most expensive tomatoes known to man.
But there's the joy of growing your own. For me, this is more like a science fair kind of thing.
Are you organic? Are you going to spray pesticides?
I'll have to ask our friends at Nutrien Ag. Whatever they tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do.
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
All right, so we have baseball later today. We have baseball. The odd 7 p.m. start on Saturday. You and I will not be on that game, and that's good. But we're going to have to kind of behave ourselves on Saturday night because we start back at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Kind of a quick turnaround.
Yeah, who's broadcasting the game tomorrow night? I don't know.
I think Chris Burke and Dave Neal, maybe.
Okay.
They will not be in the stadium, which is a pet peeve of mine.
Not a pet peeve from a standpoint of Dave and Chris.
No. Those guys are great.
I love those guys. Just two of my favorite people there are. And guys that are very knowledgeable about baseball. You know, Dave Neal talked to us a couple of years ago. He was here at the ballpark the day that Burke Masters hit the Grand Slam. He was at Florida State. And he was in school at Florida State in 1990 when Burke Masters hit the Grand Slam. And then he had the call of the McNamee home run in the Super Regional a few years ago against Stanford.
Well, he had the call. Didn't he have McNamee?
He had McNamee at Florida State. Sure did.
Dave Neal's, man, you talk about a guy that's been around this league. Good dude.
Yeah, great
and
guy.
Really like Chris Burke a lot. Chris is a great analyst. That's one thing that they do have. If you get up to the real network, you get Ben McDonald, when you get Kyle Peterson, you get Chris Burke. I mean, those some guys who know what they're talking about.
Yeah, and good guys too. I mean, yeah. I don't think you can understate that, especially in our business, where you got some egotistical characters doing what we do. And some people would say that's me and you, Charlie.
Well, I know people would say it about
me.
At least one of us.
I'm easy to deal with.
Uh-huh. All right. So we'll be back Sunday, and on Sunday morning, my prediction, by the way, is that we're going to be getting together Sunday morning talking about a rubber game. I think we're going to see a split of these first two. Somebody's going to win this series on Sunday. How you feel about that?
I'm glass half full. I'm thinking about Sunday.
We're going for the sweep?
Yep.
Hope you're right.
We better be. I'm going to be mad.
All right. See you Sunday.